This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday. Gosh, it's a beautiful Monday outside. I bet a lot of you right now just getting onto your lunch break here in St. Louis, and you are going out to get some food, maybe run an errand, and you've got the windows down. Gotta love these days. Now, we've got a lot going on the show today, and we're very happy to be able to bring you at 125 Ryan Schmelz, because I have to say, it's... I know that not everybody who tunes into the Annie Fry Show is going to immediately know Ryan Schmelz's name, but as soon as you hear him, you remember him. Because he is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent, so he's there in the Capitol, he's covering it. You know, Chad Pergram is like the chief TV dude. Being able to talk to Ryan Schmelz is like having a Chad Pergram at our fingertips all the time, and Ryan completely knows his stuff. And our YouTube live chat poll for today, which I encourage you to go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y, and vote, because I think this might be an interesting break. I don't know how this is going to break down with our audience. Should GOP legislators back Trump's request for a continuing resolution to fund the government through September? Trump wants the Republicans this week. I think the vote would be tomorrow, is my understanding.
All I know is it's this week.
I think it's somebody tomorrow, but this is why we have Ryan on the show at 125, and he's going to tell us what's going on. But basically, all we've been hearing from Republicans about funding the government is that, of course, the end goal here is to get a balanced budget. You can't just snap your fingers and make that happen. There's going to be some growing pains, of course. But what we do know is that continuing resolutions are bad. I thought that that was kind of a complete and total understanding by the Republican Party. But now we hear President Trump saying, trust us on this. We need a little bit more time to make sure that we get the perfect bill, and we need to fund this government, because if we don't fund the government, bad things happen. Of course, Susan Collins, a senator in from Maine, is, I think, the head of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, and is saying, and Susan Collins, mind you, she's the purplish Republican senator. She's saying we can't shut down the government. So you've got people who are advocating for don't close the government down. I think that Republicans are, generally speaking, broadly, I'm talking about voters here, I'm talking about the entire Republican electorate, very in favor of shutting down the government when the Democrats are in charge. And I don't know how in favor they would be of shutting down the government on principle of no continuing resolutions. That's what a CR is. This is a point where everybody starts talking about CR this, CR that. And people who don't follow government forever and ever, like, what's a CR? So we're going to ask Ryan Schmelz that later. But it's a continuing resolution. It takes the funding as it is. Says, how about just a little bit longer on that before we can actually get our act together? The problem is, isn't it like 2020?
Oh, yeah. It's been a long time.
I mean, it's 5 years.
Yes.
Of we haven't reassessed the situation and looked at what we can actually do and what we can't actually do and made a decision based on those current times. It's just constantly punting.
Yeah, it's not a new budget. They just keep saying, how about we just keep doing that one again and that one again for a long time now.
So we're going to talk to Ryan Schmelz about what that vote likely will be, because very slim majority in the House of Republicans. So the Republicans have to essentially be in lockstep. It's basically Republicans and Thomas Massie. That's how you have to look at it, because Massey's not going to vote for these things. He never has. He never will. But Trump is asking for it. And that is a huge factor in this. For a lot of people, if Trump asks for it, people are willing to say, I trust him. Do what he says. And that's what the poll is today. Should the Republicans do what Trump wants them to do and get this CR done? You have any strong thoughts on this yet?
Oh, yeah, I do. I got some real strong thoughts. And actually, they go both ways, because on one hand, I really the only person and president I would trust to say, hey, there's a bigger plan here and that there actually is a bigger plan would be Donald Trump, because I'm so sick of politicians saying that and then nothing ever gets done. But he's doing so much that I'm like, well, maybe you are. You know, he's the one saying we got to balance the budget. We got to cut government. And he's doing it. So in that sense, I do trust him. However, I don't like the CR based mainly on what Thomas Massie has said, which is, why would we, all these DOGE cuts that have been done already, there's more to come, but all the ones that we've already done, why would we continue to fund those same things with this CR?
Why would you say, oh, how about just a little bit longer?
Yes.
Why would you do that? And the only answer to that is because we don't have a choice not to. And I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying, what's the alternative? You cannot live in a fantasy world where you want, you know, of course, I want the budgets to be balanced. I want us to take less dollars from the American taxpayer. I want us to not fund things that aren't rooted in the Constitution and based on the fundamental God-given rights of every American citizen. But we can't just snap our fingers and make that happen. So we need you to weigh in on this and let us know what you think. Should GOP legislators back Trump's request for a continuing resolution to fund the government through September? September is when they would actually have to put up, and, you know, we could get there and be like, we just need a little bit longer. And then we do another CR. And if Trump does that, if Trump can't get this done by September, then you're in midterm election. And I would actually argue that September is already midterm election. So I don't know what you're going to think about this. Steve Moore is going to be with us, I believe, at 105 every once in a while. I mean, we book him every Monday at 105. He gives us that time. We're so grateful to have Steve Moore, who is an economic advisor to Donald Trump, has advised his administration, his campaign. I'm going to ask him about this, because the number one thing that he wants to have done is to make permanent those tax cuts. He wants that to happen. Does a CR freak him out? I don't know. Being able to ask Ryan Schmelz at 125 what Congress is likely to do, and right before that, ask Steve Moore, hopefully, unless he gets snatched up by Fox TV in the meantime, as to what he thinks is best for the country. That is a great 1-2 punch in the 1 o'clock hour here on 97.1. We're going to have Kaylin Dorr on with us next, too, as well. And have you seen the Take It Down Act? Have you heard about this?
I don't think so.
Weird segue here, but revenge posting of pictures is another P word I'm not going to say, just because, you know, kids and stuff.
Yes.
But the ability for people to take photographs of themselves and send them, of young people to do that and send them out. And then also you add in the skills of artificial intelligence. There is just, what a terrible time to have to grow up around children who have access to technology that they don't understand the full capacity of what technology can do to harm people. And Melania Trump is taking under her wing the effort to make sure that this type of stuff is minimized. And I, for the record, put it on the board. I have applied to go to the White House, and
good for you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
I did that because you all said I had to. I have applied and will notify you if anything comes of that. I understand it's a long shot, but
to be in the press room.
I don't know. Wherever they tell me to
go.
I'll stand in the closet if I need to.
Be in the Rose Garden.
Yeah. Hi.
Just kind of rolling around.
I don't know if I'll do that.
No?
No. That's the Wiggins version of what would happen. They're so pretty.
That's what I would do.
As long as I can go in spring.
You got to stop and smell and roll in the roses.
Yeah.
That's what I always say. But hey, if you get the press room, that's just as good.
Yeah. I'll go, like I said, I'll go where they take me. I am thinking about if I were, you know, like I said, it's a long shot chance that I end up in this position, but there's a chance. So why not take it? And if I'm going to take it, I'm going to make the absolute most of it. And I've thought a lot about what I would ask. And I think that if I get this opportunity, I need to make sure that I ask something that, the way I look at it, I offer a certain perspective here for you listening. There are a lot of talk options for you available here in the St. Louis market. If you're popping around on your radio, there are a million other ways to listen to talk when it comes to podcasting and streaming and, you know, satellite radio and all of that. I understand that you have a choice. And when you choose to spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes of your time with us, I am incredibly grateful. There's something that we have to offer in this show that brings you in for whatever amount of time you spend with us. And what I think that I think the biggest mistake I could make if I got that opportunity would be to go in there and try to be like Peter Doocy or Aish Nahazny or whoever goes in there. Like, those questions that they're asking, they're being asked. It's no different if I do it, except for nobody knows who I am. So what do we offer here that would be valuable to you as a listener? What can I go in there and talk about? And I'm paying a lot of close attention to that. I think that there are regional things that I can pay attention to. For instance, you know, my roots in Illinois, which is my home state, got to spend the weekend in Chicago. I'm going to tell you what, we'll talk more about this later in the 2 o'clock hour, probably. But we went downtown Chicago this weekend. I haven't been downtown Chicago in probably 18 years.
Like Michigan Avenue downtown?
Yes.
Yeah.
Driving it. Like, I don't know that I've ever been in a car that we owned and operated driving down there. It's always been like ride shares and stuff like that. No, I went one time. I went in 2016 once. And that was a work summit thing. And
Well, there goes this whole story.
No.
Oh.
No, because I remember I went in 2016. It was a late November digital summit when I was the digital brand manager for 97.1. It was late November of 2016.
Ah.
Ooh.
And we're downtown, and I was with a couple of my coworkers who also work digital, and we were Trump fans. And we were, like, walking past the Trump Tower, and we were, like, sneaking selfies, because I don't know that we were in friendly territory. But it was still, I remember that very well, because the world was still shocked. Like, absolutely, this isn't possible. Somebody fix it. How did Donald Trump just win this election? And you know, there was also, it was like jaw-dropping that Donald Trump won in 2016, but it was probably more jaw-dropping that Hillary Clinton lost. How could she lose? She was born for this. Just ask her. And so we were just like, you just kind of, I mean, this has been the same way for the last few months, but you just kind of walk around with a smile on your face. And if you see other people smiling, you're like, mm-hmm. And then you just keep going.
Especially in Chicago.
Yes. We were in front of the Trump Tower, and it was just like, this is a whole different world. So I was in Chicago this weekend, and like I said, we'll talk more about this later. But I know everybody wants to separate from Chicago. We got to win that city back. They're not going to be red. It's not going to ever be MAGA country. Again.
For that one moment in time.
Yeah, this is that one night.
That one moment in time.
That sounds like a movie. One moment in MAGA country, Chicago, Illinois.
Jussie Smollett.
It's not ever going to be that, but the economic powerhouse that it should be for the, I'm not even exaggerating, not the state, not the country, but for the world, right here in the middle of the United States of America, very strategically placed, just an absolutely stunning city. Maybe common sense could win the day. Annie, you're drunk. Go home. No, we just need the right leaders. And to look at what Donald Trump is doing at the national federal level right now and the things that he's willing to do and say that Americans of all kinds have said, we'll try it. If Donald Trump succeeds doing what he's doing right now, and you're in Chicago and you've got two brain cells to rub together, why wouldn't you say, can we do a version of that here? We could talk more about that later in the show, but that's one path of thinking that I'm mulling about, should I have the opportunity to talk about it. But the other thing that I really am concerned about. And I hear this when I talk to you, when I meet you at events, or if we run into each other. It always comes up that you like that as a show we talk about our faith. You love that we talk about our families. And I've had so many parents come up and say that they've appreciated so much how we've talked about in our family holding our kids back with cell phones and social media access, which is I'm not doing it right. I might be doing it a little bit differently than the mainstream, but we're all trying to do our best. And this Take It Down Act that we're going to talk with Kalen Dorr next, he's the deputy assistant to the president, White House deputy communications director. We're going to talk about the Take It Down Act. Melania Trump is championing this. And the bill that they're trying to get through would make it a federal crime to post intimate imagery online, whether real or fake. And I think that this is something that absolutely needs to be done. I talk to my kids all the time about these absolutely tragic stories that take place where kids share something and then they get bullied with it after the fact. You know, the mistakes that we made as kids were never... these mistakes were never big enough to be where, like, children today, if you take a photo and you send it, like, you just can't claw that back. It's almost like we couldn't have made a mistake that big. And you can do this flippantly with one snap of a photo on your phone, and that's that. And it's out there, and you won't get it back. Our kids don't. Our technology is giving our kids opportunities that they are not mature enough to handle, and I don't feel like enough people are talking about it. It's one of the main things that I think about. If I were able to go to the White House, what I would ask them about and push and encourage them to do, which is protect our kids, because childhood is so fleeting. The innocence that you have as a kid, once it's gone, it's gone. And I think we need to do more. We need to be better at it, and we need to have people talking about this that are actually in the mix with this technology, not people who have staff to handle those types of things. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Kalen Dorr is going to be with us. Like I said, the deputy assistant to the president is going to talk to us about the Take It Down Act. Melania Trump is really working hard to make sure that this is something that is paid attention to, with one of Donald Trump's guests, Melania Trump's guests at the joint address last week. It was about this. Kalen Dorr on the Annie Fry Show next. We could have
had it. Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
With a common goal, to protect our youth from online harm. The widespread presence of abusive behavior in the digital domain affects the daily lives of our children, families, and communities. Addressing this issue is essential for fostering a safe and supportive environment for our young people. I hope today's roundtable builds awareness of the harm caused by non-consensual intimate imagery and eventually the approval of the Take It Down Act bill in Congress.
Our First Lady, Melania Trump, talking and advocating for the Take It Down Act. And I want to give our next guest the opportunity to talk about the importance of this. Why is this a priority of the First Lady and the Trump administration? Of course, as I've talked to you many times about my four children, I have a 15-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. All of this social media stuff is front and center for me. I am leaning in heavily to find out what we are doing to protect our children. And I'm so grateful to see that this administration is making it a priority. Kaylin Dorr joins us now, Deputy Assistant to the President, White House Deputy Communications Director. Thank you so much, Kaylin, for being with us today. It's an honor to have you.
Well, thanks for having me here, Annie. I appreciate you. I was just telling the producers offline, nature is healing. I had to leave the confines of the White House today because I saw that online they were actually tearing down BLM Plaza just a few blocks away from the White House. So I had to go see it myself. I had to do a little pilgrimage. So if it's a little noisy, it's because I walked a block away. But much like how we're seeing things like the Take It Down Act, you know, take hold here in Washington, D.C., it looks like everyone's rowing in the same direction and we're actually making some real change. It's always good to hear.
I appreciate you saying that. I went and visited Washington, D.C. last year with my son for the first time in his eighth grade class trip. And I couldn't believe, I didn't realize that mural was still up. So it's great to hear that they're focusing on better things, bigger and better things now. You know, and we'll throw in this Take It Down Act as one of those things. There's a lot of common sense behind what the administration is trying to do here. I think that we have as a government been behind the time on what digital life is happening, the types of things that can happen, especially when they infiltrate the lives of our children.
100%. And I just had a baby girl. I didn't have it. Sorry. My wife just had a baby girl, you know, 10 or so weeks ago. Thank you. But, you know, you take a look at things like this and you're really grateful for the common sense solutions to these really complex problems, right? It's a little complex in that. The technology is definitely leaps and bounds ahead of anything we see here in D.C. You know, if I had to tell you what I have to do to be able to send an email or to cut a video here at the White House, you would be astonished. So, you know, for us to really take charge on this, and, you know, as you saw, the president brought it up in the joint address to Congress and he called for people to pass it. I'm really proud of us as a movement for really taking the bull by the horns and looking forward a little bit. We haven't always been good about it as a party or as a governing body. And so, yeah, I'm really, I got skin in the game now with a baby girl, but I really do appreciate us looking forward to this kind of stuff. And I think it's especially important. You know, we have leaders like David Sachs and Elon Musk, you know, here working as special government employees at the White House because they're also providing an outsider perspective. That's always been what the president is good at, right? He's always been pragmatic and he's always viewed things as a regular person, right? The regular person doesn't view things through the archaic lens that Washington, D.C. typically does. And so I think we're going to be able to get ahead of the curve and really do some powerful word.
We're speaking with White House Deputy Communications Director Kaylin Dorr. I want to dive into that a little bit more because I've seen these, you know, social media or technology or digital element conversations come up in government and especially in our federal government over the last decade. And many times the people who we see discussing them have no clue what they're talking about. They've been briefed, but they don't have any real life experience. They have staff that helps them do those things. How active are knowledgeable, experienced, you know, thought leaders on this issue of, you know, revenge porn that gets put up, AI generated images that are very offensive that gets put up? Who else is involved in this to make sure that it is current and forward thinking?
Well, I think you're looking at Congress is really put the word forward on this, and it's a result of kind of this younger, more MAGA oriented Republican Party. I mean, I could tell you the party that I grew up, you know, learning about, the party that I grew up being a part of, they'd be, like we said, like behind the curve on this in a way that is criminal, because it valued quote unquote experience, right? Traditional experience over, you know, pragmatic solutions. And so I think this is a result of our movement getting younger and getting smarter and getting more involved. You know, credit goes to the technology companies recognizing that this is a thing that, you know, needs to be addressed. I'm sure they're, you know, involved. And I think this is, again, a very common sense solution to what shouldn't be, but is a complex technological problem. I've worked at social media companies in the past, and I can tell you, you know, moderating and things like that is always very difficult. You know, I was in a meeting once for a prior employer where we had to sit down and determine how much of the Hunter Biden laptop we would show, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink.
Yes.
And so, you know, there are real humans attached to all of these issues. And I think, you know, it's important that we're out there leading on this.
Yeah. And especially when those humans are children that are being affected. Kaylin Dorr, we appreciate your time today. We know you are limited on your time with us. We hope you'll come back with us and keep us updated on what's going on with the Take It Down Act and more. We're really grateful for the opportunity to speak with you.
Will do. Thank you, Annie. Y'all take care. Have a great week, all right?
Yep, you as well. Bye-bye. Outside of Lafayette Square right there in downtown Washington, D.C., I don't know which side it is. That was one thing when I was in Washington, D.C., I never really had a sense of direction because the streets don't go like east and west and north and south. They go all the ways, and that's because of the Freemasons.
Oh, is it really?
Well,
see,
they built it.
I could not figure out Washington, D.C. either, but I wasn't driving. I was just in a ride share. But we'd go down streets, and I'd completely disorient me because I didn't know where we were going.
Have you ever looked at the Mason sign in there? I'm not talking crazy. This isn't conspiracy.
No, it actually is.
I mean,
no,
they just were
that.
They were Freemasons. They built everything.
All the presidents were part of the Freemasons.
Yep, there's Steve Moore. He's on TV. We'll see if he's free.
No, good. He's on now.
He's like, guys, I have to do the Annie Fry Show at 105.
Yeah.
And I can't be late. You just tell Trace Gallagher he'll have to get it done in the noon hour. And he gets real mad. No, I'm joking. We'll see if he's going to be with us. Who knows? I'd be like navigating and following. I didn't plan. It was so nice because I'm a type A organizer. I have had to very, very, very thoughtfully and intentionally as a mom push away the thought of having to take everything over and do it myself because I can think all I'm ever doing is analyzing how I would do such thing. That's all I ever do. And I don't want to do all of that. But you're just thinking like if you see something run really well, you're like, they're doing a bang up job. And if I think that, I always try to go tell those people that if they're accessible,
and you're impressed.
Yes. Like, you guys are doing a wonderful job. This was a joy to be a part of or something like that.
Yeah. Especially when it's unexpected.
The Night of Rock Stars, just to throw this out there, which is the event that I have emceed for the last two or three years. Three years. It's a run by the Remax Alliance Group, and you know we're partners with Tammy Dinnamore here on the Annie Fry Show, and she is a huge part of that as well. And they acknowledge families of special needs kiddos, and it's just an amazing event, and it's run flawlessly. Heather Sterling, she does a wonderful job of making the trains run on time. They run on Heather's time, and it's on time. you go to something like that, and then you go to something else. You ever been to a trivia night that was just like, whoa?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I've been to some that were amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like ours?
Well, yours was so, it was so buttoned up.
Thank you.
That it was like, whoa, she's moving fast. Because you were the MC.
Yeah. And
you had it all.
My husband and I did the questions. We did the organization. We did the emceeing. Because if you go to something like that, and if you're ever like, if you ever go, oh, you look at your watch to see, is this almost over? Then it's not good. You should. When I emcee a ton of events, and when I emcee an event, my thought is always, when I walk in, if they haven't given me a lot of information before I get there, I'm always like, when do you want people out of here? Because I feel like my job as an MC, if you had four people who were going to speak and you thought they were all going to speak for 5 minutes and they all only speak for 2 minutes, I might have 5 or 6, 7 minutes to fill. And I can do that. If they all go super long, and most of the events that I do have politicians there and they're not like, oh, I can take 5 to 10. I'll get it done in four.
Yeah.
Nope. So I'm usually trying to be like, all right, let's go. Keep it moving. Because that's what makes people not regret going to the fundraiser where they are giving you your money. So you got to be stay focused on the thing. But I'm always analyzing everything, and I don't want to be the person who walks into an event or into everything in life and feels like you have to take it over, because I don't have to. It's a very active, intentional thing for me to have to be like, Annie, you are going to go be the best worker bee that you can possibly be. And I've had to work on that. And then you just, you learn to bite your tongue. And then eventually you get halfway through and you're like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not in charge of this.
Side point on trivia nights.
No. Yeah. Let's talk about them.
The worst thing that can happen at a trivia night is not just that it takes long. That's the second worst. The worst is when there are questions, not just one, because every now and then one will sneak through, but multiple questions that the answer is not clear. Like, there's something about, where you could argue with the judge, because then you got to be the jerk who walks up and goes, well, the way this is asked, I remember one recently within the last couple years that was about St. Louis baseball, and the answer they were looking for about 40s or 50s baseball was the St. Louis Browns. But the way it was worded, it could have referred also to the Cardinals, who were a team at that time. And that kind of stuff drives me nuts in trivia.
I recently emceed a trivia night, and it was a lot of fun. And
that's right.
But the one question that popped into my mind when you said that was about a spoof movie and the movie that it spoofed. And it didn't name either one. And it's like, what is the name of that movie? And I'm like, when I was reading that, I was like, they need to know if they want the spoof movie or if they want the movie that the spoof movie spoofed.
Stuff sneaks through.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
It's hard to come up
with
that.
But I mean, I don't know, lots of questions. And that was really the only one I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I don't think you had any questions like that.
No.
Which I appreciated. Because you probably thought it through for weeks ahead of time.
I will, when my husband and I write our questions, because we do trivia nights every once in a while, we'll probably be putting together another one in the next, probably in 2025. And we write our questions and then we send them to, we have a few people in our life that could go to said trivia night, kind of depends on what it's for. If it's for their organization, obviously we don't send it to them. But if they're not really involved, we send it to them. We're like, criticize the heck out of these.
Mm.
And if they send a criticism for one and it's even 50% valid, we just rewrite the question or trash it.
I just want clarification. There's never been any Donna Brazil moments here where you're
you
giving
just,
the questions
just, you
to
just
somebody.
Want to make sure that you give the questions to the people who are going to donate the money back.
I see how it goes.
You guys had Will Scharf at your table.
That was amazing.
Yeah, and there was a Constitution section.
Yep.
We dominated.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America, the Monday Roundup, the stories you missed and probably didn't need to know, but you do want to know. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Okay. All right. Well, Ryan Wiggins will take over in the next segment. And a reminder, we have Steve Moore and Ryan Schmelz in the 1 o'clock hour. They're going to be talking to us about the act of Congress that will need to take place when it comes to funding the government. They've got to act before Friday. There should be a vote tomorrow, I believe. Ryan Schmelz will give us the details on that. And Steve Moore will give us the wisdom behind doing that or not doing that in the 1 p.m. hour. Ryan Wiggins next.
Wiggins!
Oh! Monday Roundup! Yeehaw!
Dow.
Ooh, Dow and NASDAQ, both of them.
Down.
Dropping hard.
775.
Yeah, it was all over the place last week, and we're starting down this week.
780.
Almost 1.8% down. Let's talk about some business news then.
Okay.
Let's start there. You were not really on Twitter much this weekend, were you?
Here's the deal. I was at a basketball tournament all weekend, had two teams to watch. My daughter's team made it to the state tournament and competed very well. And my nephew's team, the Good Shepherd Collinsville Chargers, Lutheran School in Collinsville, were the state runner-ups. They played in the championship game, couldn't pull off the victory, but congratulations to the Good Shepherd Collinsville boys basketball team. So I was there watching two basketball teams. We had five players. We had a double room taking care of five middle school girls.
Fun.
Tons. We had the most fun.
These
weekends aren't always what I would summarize at the end as like just fun. They're stressful. And this was maybe the most fun I've ever had on a weekend tournament with this team.
It
was a great time. I have pictures to show later.
Okay. But you were not plugged into the news because of that.
No, but I know all the slang and the cute boys' names and all of those things.
They all like the
spill
same
them.
Boys?
What are the cute boys' names?
Yeah.
Spill them all right now.
Timmy,
Jake.
Shepherd Smith.
Bernard.
What's he doing these days?
Shep.
Shep, yeah. Yeah, you know Shep.
Gary Vood, right?
Gary Vood.
Yeah. Gary Vood coming in hot. Who knew?
For whatever reason, you always got to say his last name. Shep and Timmy. They don't have to say
just
their
last name.
Just
doesn't have the same ring when you just say Gary.
No.
Gary Vood. I don't know what's going on. That's why I'm tuned into this segment today.
Well, the most important thing you missed this weekend from X, outside of, you know, all the normal crazy political news, is that Steak and Shake has gone MAHA, as in Make America Healthy Again. And they're not just beating around the bush. They went full in on, yes, we're a part of the MAHA movement.
I might have a challenge to this. Go on.
So all weekend, were you watching this all weekend? They were getting promoted a lot.
I've seen that they...
Yeah, it started with just eat more beef tallow.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're switching over to beef tallow.
Big
for
beef
their
tallow.
Yeah, for their frying, for their steak, or for their fries.
The Ukraine flag of the right.
But I mean, they went all in. They said, how about a free fries with every Tesla purchase? You know, I mean, stuff like that. And the CEO...
Get the CEO of Steak and Shake on the show.
COO. His name is Daniel Edwards.
We've had Steak and Shake in studio with us before.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
Was it Fenton?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was.
Steak and Shake. Reach out to me. You have my contact.
Steak and Shake.
Just call us now.
No.
Right now.
Message me.
We're here till 3.
And don't talk to Ryan. Talk to me. Because what Ryan wants is free food. I want
what
content.
What I mean by call now is come by.
Yeah. Call now.
You can't send that stuff to the phone.
And the first Steak and Shake owner to call in can bring us free food. That's what you're saying. I want content.
Yeah, so Chief Operations Officer Daniel Edwards was on Fox and Friends last week and said, yeah, they're moving to beef tallow, and they've been thinking about it for a while, but they said their owner is all for having better tasting fries, which is, I love their fries, so I hope they don't, you know, I would
editorial.
Think that they're just getting better, but go ahead.
No, you're reporting, but then you just meandered off into your personal preference of French
fries.
I said editorial.
Oh, you just okay. You're just commenting on my commenting. They've switched over to beef tallow among other restaurants that are doing the same thing, and they didn't just do that though. I mean, they were tweeting about MAHA stuff.
I heard that they're going to fry their fries now in beef tallow, but I heard that they are because they're frozen French fries that when they are originally made that they're in vegetable oil. So I would like clarification on that. I think that the second fry is beef tallow, and it's possible that the first fry is vegetable oil. So, but I like the marketing, and it wouldn't stop me from eating there.
No, there's only one way to find out.
There's the only thing that would stop me from eating a Steak and Shake is if I had to go through the drive-thru. Have you guys fixed that problem yet? We went to the Steak and Shake in Edwardsville, 2 months ago or something like that. And we walked in, ordered on a kiosk, sat down, got the food right away, put my son, they call your name out so you can come get your food from the thing up there. So it's a totally different experience than when you used to get waited on. But since they are like, you have to put a name in, we put in Charlie's name is Charwee, which is what we call him because the little girls could never say the L's, so it was always Charwee. And they said it. And I thought, I'm coming back here because these people know how to have fun. That's the other spell, Steak and Shake.
Last time I went to Steak and Shake, it was very fast, but there also was nobody in front of me.
Because you whipped them.
Go ahead, Ethan.
I was just going to say, I'm going to represent quickly a sector of the people that don't know what beef tallow is when I ask.
You're not supposed to know what it is. You're just supposed to know that if you're on the right, you support it.
Mm-hmm. If you're on the left, you hate it. You like seed oils.
I retract my question.
Now you're getting the hang of it.
Make America healthy again.
Thank you for representing the people.
We're trying to get somebody on the show that would explain it. So if that happens, we'll let you do the interview. Genuine, honest questions. So beef tallow, what the heck is that?
So tell me, what are you?
You're going to ask of beef tallow. You're interviewing beef tallow? Okay.
They represent the beef tallow.
All right, Andrew Cuomo is entering the race for New York mayor, and apparently as the front runner, but according to polling, he's ahead of all the others, but he trails his own baggage. So all the stuff that he has, that he's coming in with, all the sexual harassment allegations, he is at about 30%, but there are a number of other contenders all at about 10%. The others include Eric Adams. So right now, Andrew Cuomo leading the fray for mayor of New York.
I'm not criticizing I think it's an interesting political story. I care not at all about the mayor of New York City.
I only do because if there's something really, if there's a big change that happens there, like they say, we're going to get rid of sanctuary city status.
You'll let non-citizens vote?
Or that. Or it could go the other way, too. It affects other cities and their decisions of how to run things. So.
How?
Well, they're the leader. They're the biggest. And if they decide to do something, everybody takes note. Mm. Have you heard of... You ever heard of alcohol, Annie?
Alcohol.
You ever heard of alcohol?
The song?
No. The beverage.
Mm, yes.
Okay.
Familiar.
Well, now there's something different than alcohol, but its effects are similar.
Beef tallow.
Maybe. We don't really know what beef tallow is.
Ethan, you're supposed to drink it.
It's a hot drink.
These are...
Doesn't have to be. It could be a solid.
I was told not to ask questions.
Not about beef tallow.
Really?
That's the only subject. You support it with all your might and you don't ask questions. If you ask questions, you might have different opinions and we don't allow for that.
And you have to
not ask questions until I'm doing the interview with the guy who represents beef
and the
tallow.
Dumber the better.
Then I will ask
because
questions.
Because the dumber your questions about beef tallow, the more people out there will learn things because we all have really dumb questions.
None of us know.
We're afraid to ask. And if you ask a beef tallow question after, like Maha, those people are edumacated on this stuff.
I seriously always just think of bone marrow when I think of the words beef tallow.
Everybody wants us to know that it's rendered beef fat.
Thank you.
Yeah, bone?
We get it.
You cooking this in bones? Seems weird. All right, anyway, about alcohol. I was asking because there's a new drink. Cannabis-infused drinks are hitting the market. Has anybody heard of these yet? Cannabis-infused drinks. They are most familiar cannabinoid... the science.
All right, let's go to our resident expert on cannabis, Ryan Wiggins. Let's take it from here.
The most familiar cannabinoid is Delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinol.
You sound like you've read that before.
That's THC.
This is essentially just a whole segment on things we don't really know anything about.
Produces intoxication or euphoria. For some people, it helps ease pain and nausea, but they are putting it into drinks now. And the difference between drinking cannabis and eating cannabis is the time it takes to hit you. They say that cannabis-infused drinks hit you within 15 to 20 minutes, whereas eating a gummy or a brownie takes 30 to 90 minutes.
I'm less in favor of legalized marijuana, cannabis in any way, shape, or form than I was before. I was pretty just libertarian on it. Like, I don't really know enough to say one way or the other. I think we should ban any type of smoking. Anything that smells, I think that should not be allowed to be consumed anywhere outside of the home.
This kind of solves that. It's actually one of the reasons I brought it is because smell this. And
I don't care about how stoned everybody's going to be around.
Everybody's stoned.
As long as you smell okay.
Yeah, as long as I don't have to walk through a store and smell you, then I think we're headed in the right direction.
Is this going to be sold in like stores, like as an alcoholic beverage, or is it going to be like at distilleries?
It's going to be sold as a cannabinoid beverage.
Yeah, I think you still would probably have to buy it at a licensed dealer.
Okay, I don't, you know, there's not no reason that I'm asking. It's just, you know.
All Ethan wants to know is, where can I get
this? Yeah, where can I get this beverage that's infused with THC? And also, what does THC stand for? Doctor is charging $6,000 per eye to change eye color forever. And it is really, really, really disgusting to watch. However, the effects are kind of cool looking. You see somebody change their eye color to something that, you know, you can do so many like renderings ahead of time to see what you'd look like, that the people who are changing their eye color actually looks pretty cool. But the process, no thanks. So $6,000 per eye. And you can watch this online if you want to.
You first have to have an enormous amount of expendable income to be like, how about $12,000 for some blue eyes or whatever you want? Or maybe just $6,000, maybe you just want one. But why? What would push somebody? I mean, I understand wanting to look thinner. I understand wanting to look younger. I understand maybe wanting to fix, like, if you had a scarring situation, massive weight loss, and you want to tighten the skin and stuff. How bad can an eye color be?
I know.
I don't understand that.
I mean, if you're an influencer or something like that, but you can also wear contacts to change your eye color.
Just have a cannabis drink and go on with your day.
We will.
Steve Moore, Ryan Schmelz next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.